You like to watch new stuff, right? Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course. And Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's all new, and it's streaming now on Hulu.
Hi, everyone. This is Rachel Zoe with the Climbing in Heels podcast. We recently sat down with a few recipients of the Botox Cosmetic, Onobotulinum Toxin A, and iFund Women grants at South by Southwest, thanks to Botox Cosmetic. Take a listen to our conversation. It's so good.
What advice would you give to upcoming like female entrepreneurs or just already sort of established trying to survive still?
I literally joke with my staff and we always are saying, oh, you want to be an entrepreneur? You want to be broke all the time and working 24/7? Ooh.
Yeah, but
so,
look at you.
Yeah, right? But I'm here. So the advice that I give is, and I coined this, and I believe I said it on my TED Talk, that your passion follows you. You cannot follow your passion. So my advice is to let your passion follow you, get out of your own way, and never stop and never settle.
This episode was brought to you by Botox Cosmetic. Learn more at BotoxCosmetic.com and talk to your specialist to see if Botox Cosmetic is right for you. For full prescribing information, including boxed warning, call 877-351-0300 and follow the Climbing in Heels podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe where you listen to your podcast.
Simplify your life with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. Stay connected anywhere and transform your vehicle into a dependable Wi-Fi hotspot. Navigate easily by powering apps like real-time GPS and voice assistant. Keep everyone entertained with Wi-Fi for up to 10 devices. Even on the practice field, AT&T in-car Wi-Fi keeps you connected while in proximity of your vehicle. Work, stream shows, or finish homework without missing a beat. Discover the convenience and see if you're eligible for a free trial at att.com/in-car Wi-Fi. Don't let connectivity roadblock your journey. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required. This is the most dramatic podcast ever. An iHeartRadio podcast. Chris Harrison coming to you from the home office in Austin, Texas. And we have a great show today. I'm really excited that Jackie Goldschneider and Jen Fessler from The Housewives of New Jersey are going to join me. They also just kicked off a new podcast, Two Jersey J's. Get it, Jen, Jackie, Two Jersey J's. The podcast has been a smashing success. It's topping all the charts in a lot of the reason, and well, I guess a lot of the subject matter so far has dealt with the fact that Jen Fessler has been very open about this. So I'm not talking behind her back yet. Jen has been on one of the weight loss drugs. She has been using it consistently. Jackie Goldschneider has not. She's kind of outspoken about not being on it. And she has been very outspoken about eating disorders and a battle that really she had to stop to save her own life. And the Housewives were a big part of that in saving her life. And we'll talk about all that. But, you know, Lauren and I have been really interested in this, talking about Ozempic, Wegovia, Mounjaro, any of these drugs, and how they're everywhere. A lot of people are on it, and some of the people are owning it, like Jackie, which I really appreciate, but a lot of people aren't. A lot of people are denying it or lying, and that psychology is interesting as well. So I really wanted to dive into not the medical side, which, you know, we could do with a great doctor like Dr. Ali, which check out that episode if you have not. They really are two very just normal women who deal with these societal pressures that we talk about. And I think it's very relatable to have these conversations, and I welcome them to the most dramatic podcast ever. So Jackie and Jen, first of all, thank you for being here and congratulations on the new podcast, Two Jersey J's.
Thank you so much.
We're having so much fun with it.
I mean, we could have gone the blonde, the brunette. We could have gone a lot of directions, but Two Jersey J's is pretty solid.
Yeah, no, we're loving it.
I actually love the brunette. Can we still change?
Yeah, we can
still change it.
What have you both enjoyed about this podcast? Because by the way, it has blown up. It's on the top 10 list everywhere. So it's really been a huge success. What are you guys enjoying about it?
Go ahead, Jen. Okay. I mean, well, first of all, I just can't believe it myself. I cannot believe that we even have a podcast because I've so enjoyed doing podcasts in the past or being a guest on podcasts. So I guess what's really enjoyable about it is that it's just shooting the shit with it. Can I say that?
Yeah. My left
absolutely.
It's
just shooting the shit with my. Oh, good. Okay. That I like that about it. And I love shooting the shit with Jackie. And it's fun. And it's, you know, the response has been so nice. And also, I'm hoping that I listen to podcasts all the time and it does help me. It does sort of like make me feel like I can relate about so many different topics that I key into. So I'm hopeful that our listeners will feel the same way, but it's fun, right?
Yeah, it's really fun. I mean, especially we're super close and we always banter. So why not turn it into a podcast, right? But I love being creative. I have so much to say about so many things. And anytime I listen to a podcast, I was always like, I could do that. We have some dream guests.
We do have dream guests.
Well, Jen's got like a massive crush.
No, it's not. I don't have crushes anymore. I'm way too old for crushes. I just have a massive respect and love for Michael Rappaport.
Oh, yeah.
And
okay.
I think he's just so funny and so interesting and so passionate. And he's taken up the cause of Israel.
Has.
And I just respect him tremendously. I'd love to have him on.
He would be a great interview. And I know Michael a little bit. And first of all, he's unbelievably funny, good actor. But, you know, it has been interesting to see him really shut down everything else he was doing and take up this cause. Good for him for standing by his convictions and deciding this is what I want to do. I think you have to respect whether you agree with him or not on everything. That's up to you. And you can debate that all you want. I just respect when somebody really believes in what they are doing and are willing to put it all on the line.
I feel the exact same way.
Yeah.
When he used to talk, I told him I had the pleasure of meeting him and his beautiful wife. And I said, during COVID, you know, he's very anti-Trump, but with that, the politics of that factor out for a moment, he was so passionate about, he would start screaming and the veins in his neck would pop out.
I feel that's on the daily with him anyway.
I can. And I would laugh my ass off just watching him. He would become so overwhelmed and scream. And I would just die.
He does cameos. He did one for a friend of ours who lost a bet and he just would go, you know, he's very blue. He doesn't mind just cussing and going at people in his cameo. It's really funny stuff.
Yeah.
But anyway, I agree. And that's one of the great things about these podcasts, very cathartic, but also the amazing things that I've learned. Lauren and I just had an amazing conversation with the concierge doctor of Beverly Hills, Dr. Ali, and we went deep on something that you guys have been talking about. It's one of the things I really want to get into with you, and that is the weight loss drugs. Ozempic, Wegovia, Mounjaro, you know, there's three or four of them now that he was talking about. Lauren and I have been fascinated about this because it is everywhere. It is, you know, I'm in Austin, Texas right now, and everybody is on a weight loss drug. Obviously, the housewives, it's definitely a part of the housewives culture, but
yes,
it's a part of every housewife culture. It really has become a huge thing in our society. And I know you guys talk a lot about it and you have great perspectives. Both Jen, you've been a big proponent of being on it. And Jack, you've been very outspoken about your weight loss struggles your entire life, something I'm actually very knowledgeable about as well. And I want to talk to you about that. So I wanted to kind of extend that conversation to the two of you. And you know, first of all, just, I guess, broad brush where you stand on it. And Jen, we'll start with you.
Sure. Thanks. I don't know that I'm a proponent of it. I'm a proponent of it for myself.
Yeah.
And, you know, today on Good Morning America, there was a doctor on, and I don't remember his name, talking about the other positive aspects of these drugs. And they're called, what are the letters?
The semaglutide?
Yeah, but they're called something. But anyway, not just for weight loss, for heart disease, stroke, polycystic ovarian syndrome, and addiction. And Jackie and I spoke about on our podcast, on our first podcast, we spoke about this. And I talked about how I'm a heavy drinker. And the desire to drink has not vanished completely, but it is certainly minimized. And I think there are, for me, there are a lot of advantages to it, but the biggest advantage of is that, and the doctor talked about this today on GMA, the noise, the food noise, the weight noise has been almost eliminated. And for the first time in my life, I have some freedom around food. And so,
but do you still enjoy it?
It's just been everything.
Like, has it diminished that at all for you?
It's a great question, because there have been times, not recently because I've lowered my dose, but where I really couldn't enjoy eating. And I that was never my goal.
Yeah.
So when I lowered the dosage, that came back. The joy of eating came back.
Okay.
And it doesn't, without plaguing me, but still have an appetite. I was just away in Mexico and we ate our way, you know, through this vacation and loved every minute of it. The sort of torture that comes with that has dissipated for me.
Yeah. And Jackie, where do you stand on all this?
I dislike the drugs for, you know, losing the last few pounds or getting skinny for a number of reasons. And I have no issue with any particular person using it. I don't think it's the easy way out necessarily, because I think there's a lot of side effects that people have to deal with. My fear is, number one, given my history with anorexia, which I battled for 20 years and it nearly killed me, and I've been in recovery for about 2.5 years now. But I think that anything that artificially shuts off your hunger is basically inducing an eating disorder.
Yeah.
Right. So it took me a really long time to understand how to accept my hunger cues and then eat until I was satisfied. And for me to just watch people in droves just shutting off their hunger so they can lose weight, just it raises a lot of red flags for me.
Yeah.
There's a lot of unknowns with these drugs. And I feel like in a few years from now, there might be things that we know about them that we didn't know before, and people might have to start going off of them. And then they're going to end up being so many people with eating disorders who never had one before. And that's, you know, that's where I have skin in the game, because I know how awful that life is. And I just think that they are not so healthy. I mean, like, even Jen admitted she doesn't exercise, right? You don't always go for like the most nourishing, nutritious
food. Well, that's on me, right? I mean, that's on me, right? So,
but that's a lot of people. Like, you lose a lot of muscle mass, which is not good for an aging woman.
Very true.
You know,
absolutely true. But I will say that you don't have to. I mean, you have to lift weights and you have to choose vegetables. And I had an incident, we spoke about this as well on our first podcast, where I had an impacted bowel and I was not drinking any, and my doctor was very clear. You got to drink water. You got to take fiber. You got to eat your fruits and vegetables. And I was ignoring all of that advice.
I'm curious, Jen, and this is an awkward question, because I've never seen you naked.
There are no awkward questions. Yeah,
but so I'm just curious, as you look at your own body, say you get out of the shower, what are you seeing now that you didn't see then?
So I see a lot of hanging skin.
Oh.
And that's just the truth of it. I see a woman whose the bottom half of her body looks like she's 90 years old.
Then why do you want it?
Because it doesn't. I'm not trying to be bikini ready. I'm not, you know, I'm not walking a catwalk. And I never loved the lower half of my body anyway.
Yeah.
But I definitely lost muscle. Again, I'm not doing squats every day,
right?
Like I should be.
Well, Dr. Ali actually brought up something very interesting. You know, you can really kind of maintain, but you're not going to gain muscle mass. Let's say a guy, like, say I wanted to be ripped. Getting on these drugs will not do that. You're not going to slim down and be all fired up, because he's like, you're going to lose muscle mass. You know, you can stay on the protein diet, you can do all these things, but you're not going to get ripped, you're not going to get bigger. So it is an interesting slippery slope, as Jackie was saying. And I'm curious, from someone who's used it as opposed to a doctor, are you on it full time? Or, because he said, you know, what I don't mind is people getting on it for a bit, dealing with whatever, say they couldn't get rid of that last 30 pounds or whatever it was, but getting rid of that and then being done. And then now trying to be healthy. Is that your outlook? Is that your process? Or are you like, no, I'm just staying on this as a steady diet?
So I've lowered my dosage quite a bit. And I actually put on maybe 5 pounds, which I wanted to. I was actually feeling like I was looking just frail.
Yeah.
But if I'm being honest, maybe I'll stay on it indefinitely. I don't have a plan to go completely off of it.
Yeah. It took me a while to figure out my mom is more than just a mom. She's got a whole life outside of motherhood. Mary Beth, she is a force to be reckoned with. Successful career, many talents, a great friend group. I could go on and on about my mom. I love her dearly. Well, this Mother's Day, give mom her flowers. She deserves the best. That's why I'm sending Farm Fresh flowers from Bouqs. That's short for bouquets. And I got you 25% off your entire Bouqs purchase so you can send some too. Here's why I like Bouqs. Bouqs is different. Their flowers are cut fresh and sourced directly from the best flower farms, so they last way longer. Bouqs has also made it easy. I went online, picked the delivery date, and I'm done. Mother's Day is May 12th, right around the corner. Don't miss the chance to thank your mom. Order your Bouqs now. And with 25% off, you can send some to mom, the wife, aunt, hey, even your grandma. Go to Bouqs.com and use promo code Chris for 25% off. That's Bouqs.com, promo code Chris. Bouqs.com and use promo code Chris. You like to watch new stuff, right? Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time. Like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. Don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman. Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Hi, everyone. This is Rachel Zoe with the Climbing in Heels podcast. We recently sat down with a few recipients of the Botox Cosmetic, Onobotulinum Toxin A, and iFund Women grants at South by Southwest, thanks to Botox Cosmetic. Take a listen to our conversation. It's so good.
What advice would you give to upcoming like female entrepreneurs or just already sort of established trying to survive still?
I literally joke with my staff and we always are saying, oh, you want to be an entrepreneur? You want to be broke all the time and working 24/7? Ooh.
Yeah, but
so,
look at you.
Yeah, right? But I'm here. So the advice that I give is, and I coined this, and I believe I said it on my TED Talk, that your passion follows you. You cannot follow your passion. So my advice is to let your passion follow you, get out of your own way, and never stop and never settle.
This episode was brought to you by Botox Cosmetic. Learn more at BotoxCosmetic.com and talk to your specialist to see if Botox Cosmetic is right for you. For full prescribing information, including boxed warning, call 877-351-0300 and follow the Climbing in Heels podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe where you listen to your podcast.
Jackie, it's, you know, your story really struck a chord with me. Someone very, very close to me almost died in college with eating disorder, anorexia, and bulimia, both of them. And I thought the same thing when I heard this. I'm like, man, this has got to be at the very least triggering for someone who has dealt with this, who battled so hard. And by the way, it's kind of like addiction. You never stop that fight. You never stop that battle. I know this person is still fighting with it to this day. And I'm like, well, man, what is this doing to your psyche?
Yeah. It made my recovery a lot harder.
Yeah.
It doesn't trigger me. I know that I could go on it if I really wanted to. So it's not like I never would. But it's not triggering in that sense of like, oh my God, all these people are getting skinny. I don't envy that. I had it for a long time and I chose to change my life. What what I selfishly don't like about it is that I had a lot of people that I looked at during the course of my sickness where I would watch them eat and say to myself, how do you do that? Mm-hmm. How do you just eat something and not freak out about it and not worry about what's in it and just enjoy it and then move on with your day? Because I was never able to do that. And when I recovered, I looked forward to being a part of that world. And then many, many of the people in that world who I admired started using these drugs. So now I am the person who has the healthy relationship with food, and they are the people who are on these drugs and have no appetite anymore. So for me, it's a little bit like all of these people who were my role models for what a healthy relationship with food looked like. They no longer exist.
So I just want to jump in for mm-hmm. 1 second.
Yeah.
So Chris, you wouldn't know this, but I actually was bulimic for most of my 20s. And I will tell you that I totally get what Jackie's saying, but for me, this is the healthiest my relationship with food has ever been, right? Because, you know, the struggle was and is real. And once you're addicted to food and I was also a compulsive overeater, still, over the past however many years, I go in and out of that binging cycle, that crazy binging cycle, and the remorse that comes with it the next day, and eating when I'm not hungry. So it's like I finally feel like one of those people that Jackie's describing who can eat and not have to finish their plate, but still enjoy food. So I think it's, you know, it's sort of a mixed bag.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think maybe you are the one of the exceptions. You know, also, Chris, people don't realize that a lot of these studies that tout how wonderful these drugs are funded by the drug companies who create these drugs.
Well, yeah. Dr. Ali and I were very frank about that.
There are side effects that people are not like reading about in the paper every day because they're not, you know, there's a lot of things behind the scenes. I mean, go watch Dopesick. You know, like you'll see what these pharma companies do. And it's just scary. Like I would never be able to be on a drug like this, knowing that everything could unravel if by some chance it had to be taken off the market.
Yeah.
You know, like that would drive me crazy and I would never be able to relax.
And what, you know, Lauren and I, after talking to Dr. Ali, and we've been talking a lot about this because Oprah was, you know, very open about it. And you guys in your housewives world, we'll talk about that more because, you know, I don't know. What's the percentage of housewives do you think are on one of these drugs?
I don't know, but I will say at BravoCon this year, there was no one overweight. No one was overweight.
Has there ever been a housewife that was overweight?
Yeah, everyone was thin. I would say, God, I don't know, a third of them, maybe?
That were heavy, you
mean? No, that are on.
I don't know. I mean, I your guess is as good as mine. I don't know.
I mean, on our cast, like at least half the cast, right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. That have talked about it.
Yeah.
That are on
yes.
it.
Yeah. Yeah. That admit to being on it. Yes. So we're not like outing anybody.
And Jackie, that's a very interesting point too. Those that admit it and then those that don't. How, you know, obviously there are those that are either denying, lying, or just ignoring, but they're on it. What do you think that percentage is?
In the housewives world or just in general?
In the housewives world.
A few on each cast.
Well, you know, in the real world, like I have so many friends that are on it.
Yeah.
And they don't share that information with anyone but me because they know that I'm on it because I'm so open about it.
Right.
And then I'm sworn to secrecy. So I think that there are so many women and men who are ashamed to be on it.
And you shouldn't. There should not be shame around it.
Well, that's something interesting we talked. So Dr. Ali, who's, again, he's the doctor to the stars. He has a lot of celebrities. And he said, look, 3/4. He's like probably 70% are walking around on one of these weight loss drugs. And there is this, you know, there are those like you that are very open about it and very honest. I think it's very healthy. I'm glad Oprah is talking about it because if nothing else, it creates a debate. You can start asking questions instead of doing things in the shadows, which really is never really healthy. So what is the shame? Why are people lying? What is it about us that we want to say, well, no, I never got a boob job. I never got a nose job. I'm all natural. I've lost 30 pounds naturally. What is that?
Go ahead. Well, I think there's a narrative in our, and we were going to talk about this today on our, but there's this narrative that like you, that these drugs are the easy way out, and there's shame. There's like, you should be ashamed of yourself if you haven't tried everything else first.
Yeah, it's funny because we are going to talk about this today in terms of plastic surgery and why there's so much sort of shame around it. But I think that there, okay, so this is just what I know. I don't want to get anybody riled up.
Yeah.
But there was talk about the fact that there was a shortage and that people who needed it couldn't get it.
Right.
What I know, what I've heard, and I've done my research on it, is that at one point there was a shortage of the actual pens that Ozempic came in, right? Not semaglutide, not the medicine itself that you get from compound pharmacies. But that was, I think, that's a big reason why people have been shamed. And I would feel a lot of shame if I thought that I was taking medicine out of people's hands who need it. I don't believe that I'm doing that.
Yeah. Well, you're definitely not now. I mean, there's plenty of it. And I also wonder, because look, I'm a big skeptic, especially when it comes to pharmaceuticals. Was it a, I call it the Pink's hot dog theory. Was there really a shortage, or do they just want to create a line so it looks like it's busy? You know, did they announce the, oh my gosh, it's crazy, you can't get your hands on it, so you would rush to a doctor and try and get it? That's just the skeptic in me.
Interesting. Yeah, possibly. I think that people label, you know, Ozempic users as sleazy. There's also some kind of like resentment. I think that some of the people who are calling other people lazy really want to go on it themselves, and maybe they can't, you know, find $1,000 a month, which many, many people can't. And that, you know, it seems like it's a drug for rich people to get thin, you know, and I mean, that goes along with that, understandably.
Jen, have you talked about which one you're on? Because there's several now.
Semaglutide, which is like the generic, I guess.
Okay.
Right. Of Ozempic, I believe.
But of Ozempic, yeah.
Right. So it's made in a compound pharmacy.
Because there's Ozempic and Wegovy, but then now Mounjaro is coming out.
There's a lot more now. Right. Yeah. And you know what scares me, Chris, is that now I believe the FDA is working on approving it for kids. And that is horrifying.
Yeah. That is
I understand
scary.
An adult.
Yeah.
An adult making that decision for themselves. But you take a child who doesn't like their body and you tell them that instead of trying to like help them understand how to eat in a way that's better for them or like more physical exercise, you put them on a drug instead. For me, that is horrifying.
Yeah, no, it is. It's scary. And, you know, I have two kids, you know, luckily they are grown and have kind of navigated this minefield of whether it's social media, now weight loss drugs and all that. I have a 19-year-old, well, she just turned 20 the other day, 20-year-old daughter and, you know, a 21-year-old son. And the reason I love talking to women about this is because, and Lauren says the same thing, it's very different. The societal, you know, pressures that my daughter faces are not the societal pressures my son faces. They are very different.
I have a 21-year-old daughter and a 23-year-old son.
Same thing.
And so I concur. Yeah, it's so different. And my daughter has type 1 diabetes, not to be confused with type 2 diabetes, which is what these drugs are prescribed for.
Right.
But I can tell you that my daughter eats in such a healthy way, in part because of the fact that she has type 1 diabetes, but also because of the weight issue, right? And the pressure that she felt, especially in middle school and high school, she really struggled. And she was never really overweight, right? But it was all-encompassing and very, very difficult to navigate.
Well, you know, there was this kind of shift from the perfect body. Are we really getting away from that? Or really, is it just we're back to where we were?
No, we're really getting away from that. Yeah. We're really getting away from that. And every day there's more drugs. And I think the whole thing was maybe a farce. And I am so grateful that this whole Ozempic craze started after I chose to recover. Because if it had started before, I'm not sure that I would have found the strength to say, let me gain weight while the whole world is losing weight.
Is there any positive that you see, say someone is bulimic or anorexic, is that, and you know, a doctor could say, look, let's get you on this. And you know, I don't know. I don't know if that mindset would have worked on the person that was so close to me, or if it would have worked with you. Like, would you have started eating? Or
no, not for somebody struggling with an eating disorder, unless it's binge eating disorder.
Yeah.
In which case, I do think these drugs can definitely help. But if you're struggling with anorexia, no, these drugs are just replacing one form with another.
What about addiction? What about drinking?
Yeah, I'll be interested to see. I mean, obviously the studies aren't in on this, but people are talking about it. You said the person on the morning show was referring to it. And Lauren and I have read studies about the possibility that, you know, it could help addiction. I mean, it makes sense. It's a blocker.
Yeah, I think it's a side effect.
It could.
I mean, I think from what I remember, and I remember I'm 55 years old and it was only hours ago, but from what I remember, it has been shown to really help with addiction. And as I was saying, I am a heavy drinker. I said in our last podcast years ago, I was really concerned about my relationship with alcohol. And I checked myself into an outpatient program 3 times a week. And I'm always watching to see, you know, what is my relationship with alcohol and in the moment. And this has changed all of that. And it's like a miracle. I mean, I'm sorry, but I have an aversion to it.
Look, at the end of the day, it is a fascinating topic. I think I'm glad that you two ladies are talking about it in such an open, honest way. I think the Oprah talking about it, I think other people kind of coming to the forefront. Lauren felt it. You know, we were heading up to our wedding a few months ago, and she was asked by some of the ladies in the neighborhood, hey, do you want to get on this before your wedding to kind of sharpen up or lose 10 pounds or whatever it is? And Lauren really struggled with it, and she stayed strong, and she did not take it. She has not taken it, but she said, I haven't ruled it out. I'm still weighing the options, but that pressure on her, even she knew I loved her. I find her so beautiful, sexy, whatever. That wasn't the question. It had to do with her and the pressure she was feeling internally that she almost took this drug. And that pressure is real for our kids, for you, for everybody.
Yeah. I mean, luckily I don't feel the, there's not a single part of me that wants to be on these drugs.
Yeah.
Nothing. No. And, I hope for all the people who share my mindset that I can be, a voice for that, because there's no part of me that envies anybody who's on any of these drugs. And I'm so glad that it works well for you and that it's complemented your life. But there's no part of me that sees an upside in the long run.
I love that y'all can love each other and have this huge differing opinion. I mean, by the way,
very anti-housewife.
By the way, it's okay that we disagree on a topic in this world. It's okay. Yeah. You know, we don't need to cancel Jen. We don't need to cancel Jackie. You know, we do. It's okay. You can actually disagree with someone.
Disagree and not get canceled.
Yeah.
Amen.
What a weird concept. Speaking of housewives, has it changed you? You know, was honestly, Jen is, and I don't mean to get back on the weight loss thing. Like, has it changed you in that? Is that one of the reasons you got on it? How else has it changed your life and your world?
You know, it's interesting. Again, our next podcast is about plastic surgery, and I got on Housewives, and as soon as season one wrapped, I got a facelift and a nose job and started semi-glutide. So I barely recognized myself in the mirror, but that wasn't all about, and this is my honest to God truth, that wasn't just about Housewives. That was about the fact that at the time I was 54 years old, and way before it was even a thought to go on the Housewives of New Jersey, I was interviewing doctors for facelifts. So looking back at season one, I don't love what I see in terms of, like, you know, my neck. I didn't think that I looked so heavy on it necessarily, but I think I look better now. I didn't feel this pressure to go on Ozempic, or I wasn't going to look good enough for season two. But I feel way more confident. Filming season two, I went into it feeling way more confident about my physical appearance.
Jackie, do you feel the same?
Yes. I mean, no, for me, well, so I've been on it for 6 years. And I think what was hard on me, I didn't really do anything to, I haven't done anything to my face except like fillers and Botox. I think what was harder on me than watching it back was hearing what people said about me on social media.
Yeah.
So I could watch back the early seasons and I'm like, oh God, you just, you know, you look simpler. You look younger. Your style is less stylish. But people on social media, their feedback on what was wrong with my features really impacted me and made me want to change everything. By the way, there's so many women I watch like early seasons, not on our cast, I'm talking, but like you see pictures of them from years ago and you're like, what did you do to yourself? Like you went way overboard. And I'll give you one example. I don't care if I get called out for it, but like she's a beautiful woman. Take Larsa Pippen, right? You look at a picture of Larsa Pippen from when she was married to Scotty. She is so beautiful and natural looking and just like gorgeous. And now she's still gorgeous. She's a bombshell, but like she looks like a completely different person. And like she didn't need to do any of that.
And so what, you know, what is that? Because I mean, my Lauren and I are talking about, you know, girls in college now are, you know, when they're at their most beautiful and voluptuous and their skin is the tightest and most elastic it'll ever be. And they're already getting fillers and Botox and this and that, you name it.
You want to know what I think it is? Honestly,
what?
I think it's all these fucking Instagram filters.
Yeah.
They make you think that people look a certain way. And we're going to talk about this on ours also, but like everybody's changing their pictures now. I mean, the social media is the devil. We know this,
it really is, right?
I mean, there's everything changed with the advent of social media for sure. And I think that just all roads lead back to that, right? It's that comparison that is so difficult, I think, especially for young girls. I know it really was for my daughter.
It is for my daughter and she's 13.
It took me a while to figure out my mom is more than just a mom. She's got a whole life outside of motherhood. Mary Beth, she is a force to be reckoned with. Successful career, many talents, a great friend group. I could go on and on about my mom. I love her dearly. Well, this Mother's Day, give mom her flowers. She deserves the best. That's why I'm sending Farm Fresh flowers from Bouqs. That's short for bouquets. And I got you 25% off your entire Bouqs purchase so you can send some too. Here's why I like Bouqs. Bouqs is different. Their flowers are cut fresh and sourced directly from the best flower farms, so they last way longer. Bouqs has also made it easy. I went online, picked the delivery date, and I'm done. Mother's Day is May 12th, right around the corner. Don't miss the chance to thank your mom. Order your Bouqs now. And with 25% off, you can send some to mom, the wife, aunt, hey, even your grandma. Go to Bouqs.com and use promo code Chris for 25% off. That's Bouqs.com, promo code Chris. Bouqs.com and use promo code Chris. You like to watch new stuff, right? Well, go to Hulu and see what's new because Hulu has new stuff all the time. Like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. Don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman. Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Hi, everyone. This is Rachel Zoe with the Climbing in Heels podcast. We recently sat down with a few recipients of the Botox Cosmetic, Onobotulinum Toxin A, and iFund Women grants at South by Southwest, thanks to Botox Cosmetic. Take a listen to our conversation. It's so good.
What advice would you give to upcoming like female entrepreneurs or just already sort of established trying to survive still?
I literally joke with my staff and we always are saying, oh, you want to be an entrepreneur? You want to be broke all the time and working 24/7? Ooh.
Yeah, but
so,
look at you.
Yeah, right? But I'm here. So the advice that I give is, and I coined this, and I believe I said it on my TED Talk, that your passion follows you. you cannot follow your passion. So my advice is to let your passion follow you, get out of your own way, and never stop and never settle.
This episode was brought to you by Botox Cosmetic. Learn more at BotoxCosmetic.com and talk to your specialist to see if Botox Cosmetic is right for you. For full prescribing information, including boxed warning, call 877-351-0300 and follow the Climbing in Heels podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe where you listen to your podcast.
Speaking of housewives, how has that impacted your kids? You're both moms. You know, they see obviously a side of you at home, your mom, whatever. Then they see a side of you on Housewives.
Yeah. So again, my kids were older. They're 21 and 23. So whatever, they were 20 and 22. And we had more than one family meeting talking about what this was going to be like. You know, they're adults and they have no interest in being part of the show. So way easier. And I don't know for them, I think they were both nervous about it at the beginning, right? You don't want people saying bad things about your mom.
Yeah. You don't want to hear that.
Which is sort of inevitable, right?
Right. It's the point of the show.
Right. So I think they were nervous about it. But now I think that they're more proud of it than they expected to be. And I don't want them to be part of the show.
Right.
And they don't really want to. So it's been way easier, I think, than it has for people with younger kids.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but my journey on the show has been entirely different. So like the first 2 years, my kids really, they were young. My older ones turned 10 on the now turning 16. My younger ones were 7. So they just basically did what I said. They thought it was kind of cool to see themselves on TV. And then my third year, my marriage nearly fell apart because of the show. And so the show was, you know, not a very happy topic in my home. And there was a lot of like crying. And then the fourth year, the show saved my life. So it's been like, I mean, it really did save my life. I don't think I would have been able to recover unless I had a public platform to do it on. So like, in the one sense, there were times when it was horrible. And the next sense, it's, you know, it's everything.
So when you say it saved your life, literally,
yes,
meaning
literally,
it helps you with your eating disorder? And
well, I would wake up over the course of 20 years every week and say, today I'm going to do something about this. Mm-hmm. Like this week I'll eat more, or this week I'll find someone to help me. And I never, ever, ever followed through. And when I realized that I needed to stop or else I was going to kill myself, I knew that if I did it on the show and I had everyone holding me accountable and I said it out loud and everyone was watching me to see if I would recover or not, that I would not let myself fail, because I would not show people who were watching with their own eating disorders or with children with eating disorders that it's too hard to recover.
Interesting.
And the show gave me that opportunity.
Because I was going to ask, you know, because you see a lot of divorces. And I've talked to other housewives, you know, it never seems to help a relationship. And, you know, my thought is, what is the pull to go back sometimes? You know, what is that draw to remain a housewife for so many years?
That's so loaded, because you go from, I went from a mom who would just go to like the grocery store and school pickups. I was driving a minivan at the time, to an overnight celebrity. And it's very, very hard to go back.
Because it's intoxicating, or because it's just...
It's intoxicating. I mean, I also had a lot of mental issues that went into it too. Like the validation and finally being seen and finally being... You know, I always used to say, like, I used to go into a restaurant and if there was a back room, like who was famous, like I would try to like creak my head and see who was back there, and I would ask who was back there. And now I'm the person back there. How am I going to go backwards?
You know what I see with so many housewives, not just on our cast, but across the board, this desperation to stay on the show, and which is wild because you see what goes on and how hard it is and how it can affect people's lives positively and also so negatively. But it's sort of housewives at all costs, and it becomes I guess, your identity. I'm really working hard with my therapist to make sure that does not happen to me right now. I feel like maybe I'm kidding myself. I could go on. If I got fired, I could move on with my life. But I do see so much of that, like, you know, that upset and that holding on to something that has been so, so, so difficult, right? Your whole identity becomes, I think, about maybe just not being just a housewife, but a celebrity.
Yeah, I was there. Yeah. And now I'm not.
Obviously, Jen, these series were going on before you. So was that the allure? Did you see that and think that status, I want to be seen as one of these ladies. I want to kind of have that power.
Yeah. Growing up, I wanted to be an actress.
Okay.
And I graduated from college and I moved immediately to New York to go to the American Academy of Dramatic Arts. I was a horrible actress.
Wow. That's definitely a great path to become a housewife.
Okay. So I always wanted to be on stage.
Yeah.
In some way, in some form. It's a different thing to sign up for the Housewives because you're opening up your life to so much scrutiny, I guess. And what are you trading it for? I guess fame and fortune. I don't know. But it's been a different experience than I predicted. It can be really, really fun and thrilling and an adventure and also really hard.
Yeah.
And not just during the filming of the show, but, you know, the aftermath. So I think it sort of cuts both ways. My life has certainly changed, but not that intensely. I'm also a friend of a housewife, which is different. Jackie is as well now. And
it's not as taxing on your family.
Right.
It's not as invasive
on your life.
But I mean, that pull, I mean, I know even, you know, working on The Bachelorette, that allows producers to have a lot of power. It's like, look, Jen, Jackie, look, if you really want to be prominent in this episode, you really want to be a housewife, you want to come back next season, you want to have your own storyline, you know, that there's all these little things, these carrots they can dangle in front of you.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I really hope that Housewives doesn't go on forever. You know, we're not actors where this is a lifetime profession. I don't think. I mean, maybe for some women it will.
But no,
it
won't it's
for,
not.
It won't for
no,
me.
No, it's not going to go on forever for anybody.
So I feel like, you know, being that entangled in what all of this means and who you have to be very, very grounded. I'm really working on that myself. I don't ever want to feel like I'm so desperate to stay on the show.
Yeah.
It's really fun and exciting, but it's not everything.
Well, I always said there was comfort in the fact that, you know, in this business, you're essentially going to be fired because every show ends. I don't care. You know, The Bachelor ended up going for 20 years, which I didn't expect it to go. No one could ever predict that. But, you know, at some point that ride's going to be over. And so living that way is actually really good. You end up living usually below your means if you're smart, because you know, it's like next season's not promised to anybody.
Right.
it's always an interesting business because, you know, I always said it's probably better knowing it's going to come to an end as opposed to, you know, you just heard all the partners at one of the big accounting firms just got laid off. You make it to partner, you think, okay, I'm going to be here for the next 50 years and then you're gone. I think having that rug pulled out from under you is tougher than knowing someday you're not going to be a housewife.
Yeah.
Yep.
So you build for that. Yeah, you're both married. So we'll do a little quick fire about marriage. And I'm going to put on my sexy readers. You both been married for quite some time now. What's the biggest ick about your husband?
You go first.
Oh, God.
You take that one.
The bathroom 6 times a day. Explain that to me. I mean, you with your impacted bowel. Like, I don't get it.
What's the biggest ick? I mean, my husband's a nail biter and I don't know if it icks me out as much as it pisses me off. And I don't know why. When I see him biting his nail, it does something to me where I just want blood.
So, and by the way, so unhealthy, the amount of germs under your nails, that's horrifying.
Well, listen, he would tell you that what icks him out is the way that I have eczema on my feet. And I won't get into the details of that, but I'm way more icky than he is.
Yeah. So. I eat chips in bed.
Yeah.
Oh no. Laura and I have had some fights about that. No crumbs in bed. So out of the ick, let's go to sex life. How do you keep it alive?
Such a funny question. Oh, we're laughing because our last episode
was about yes, whether or not our sex lives are in fact alive.
Are they alive? Okay, well, that's a better question. Are your sex lives?
No, they are. They are. Okay, good. I make sure, you know what? We make it a point. I make it a point to make sure that at least once a week.
Yeah. But when you have us back again, Chris, we will talk about how our sex lives are not, you know, the way that it's portrayed sex on these shows. That's not what we necessarily relate to.
Yeah.
Right. Especially, I mean, I'm 55 and my husband's turning 61. So it's not the priority.
So that brings up an interesting debate Laura and I were having. So Jackie just said, I want to prioritize at least once a week. Jen, what is healthy? Once a week, twice a week, five times a week?
For us, I mean, it's not, it's what is healthy. We have at the base of our relationship is this friendship, love, deep love, and respect. So that is part of our sex is part of our relationship, but it's not the biggest part. So it depends. It depends on the month. It depends on the year.
Depends on the holiday.
Depends on the holiday. Is it his birthday or not? Lisa Vanderpump used to say that, right? But I don't know.
Anniversaries, birthdays. So it's at least twice a year.
Yes. Yes. But I don't know what's healthy physically, but for us, whatever it is, and it's not, we're not hanging from the chandeliers, but it feels healthy emotionally, the little lot, whatever that we, I don't know. So I don't really know the answer. If you, I feel content.
Would you ever be open to a threesome with your husband?
No, no.
I agree.
Not because it's judgmental. No,
I mean, for me, it's not that. I would worry about the impact afterwards. Like, I wouldn't want another woman there because I'd worry about someone else. I don't want to see someone else touching my husband.
Exactly. Okay.
And I don't think he would ever allow another man.
Oh, no. Last question. Some housewives do not have a monogamous relationship with their partner. Could you ever do that?
I don't think so. Same reasons. I think that it would just introduce a lot of problems into our relationship.
I've spoken about it on the show and also in our podcast, but my husband and I were separated for over a year. And so there was infidelity. And so we've been down that road. I'd prefer not to go down that road again. I wouldn't recommend it. Having said that, I wouldn't necessarily take it back either. So I think that there is a path back from infidelity. And I think that, listen, whatever works, like if you're, I remember the word polyamorous, that's the word, right? Mm-hmm. And you're happy, you do you, baby. I think it's fabulous news.
Whatever floats your boat. Well, y'all floated my boat today. Jen, Jackie, it was, first of all, it's just so good to talk to you, to meet you. Congratulations. If you have not listened to their podcast, Two Jersey Jays, which is on the iHeart podcast network, you can find it wherever you find podcasts. It has been a huge success. And now I see why, because y'all are so open, so honest, and you don't agree, which is wonderful. So I bet sometimes you do, but a lot of times you don't, and that's okay. And you can still break bread together.
Amen. Yes, she doesn't eat bread anymore, but we'll break water.
Yes, I do. I finally do eat bread. Okay.
We can't go back down that road.
The next podcast.
Thank you so much for having us.
You're the best.
Jen, Jackie, thank you so much. Y'all take care.
Thank you.
Be well.
Bye.
Bye.
My thanks to Jackie and Jen for being a part of it, and congratulations on their podcast. They're doing good. I'm excited that the Most Dramatic Podcast is a part of that as well, and promoting the Two Jersey Jays. And I like continuing this conversation about the weight loss drugs. I find it fascinating. And I think the more we dig into this, it's like scratching an itch. It goes deeper and deeper and makes it worse and worse. And now I'm really enthralled with this. And it was one thing to hear, you know, to talk to a doctor. It's another thing to talk to someone who's on it, and why Jen's doing it is, I think, very interesting. And why Jackie's not doing it is very interesting. And I think the fact that, you know, you can have these conversations, respect why your neighbor might be doing it, respect why your other neighbor might not be doing it. What's good for you is not necessarily good for the next person. And so having your own opinions, asking those questions, and having your own reasons and your own basis for doing things, I think is vital. So that's why I want to continue these conversations. I love having these conversations. If it's about Ozempic or anything else in this world, is being able to ask a question and hear something you may not love, hear something you disagree with, and then just following it up with another question and continuing the conversation. We don't have to be just this way or just my way or the highway. Even if you really believe it's dangerous or really believe it's not good, you know, we don't have all the answers all the time. So I love and appreciate Jen and Jackie for diving into it. And hearing about the housewife stuff, I think, is interesting too. Obviously, I have my look into reality TV, but that's different from everybody else's experience. So I enjoy that as well. So my best to them and my best to all of you. Thank you so much for being a part of this. And I will do it again next time because we have a lot more to talk about.
Thanks for listening. Follow us on Instagram at the most dramatic pod ever. And make sure to write us a review and leave us 5 stars. I'll talk to you next time. You like to watch new stuff, right? Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time. Like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course. And Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's all new, and it's streaming now on Hulu.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hi, everyone. This is Rachel Zoe with the Climbing in Heels podcast. We recently sat down with a few recipients of the Botox Cosmetic, Onobotulinum Toxin A, and iFund Women grants at South by Southwest, thanks to Botox Cosmetic. Take a listen to our conversation. It's so good.
What advice would you give to upcoming like female entrepreneurs or just already sort of established trying to survive still?
I literally joke with my staff and we always are saying, oh, you want to be an entrepreneur? You want to be broke all the time and working 24/7? Ooh.
Yeah, but
so,
look at you.
Yeah, right? But I'm here. So the advice that I give is, and I coined this, and I believe I said it on my TED Talk, that your passion follows you. You cannot follow your passion. So my advice is to let your passion follow you, get out of your own way, and never stop and never settle.
This episode was brought to you by Botox Cosmetic. Learn more at BotoxCosmetic.com and talk to your specialist to see if Botox Cosmetic is right for you. For full prescribing information, including boxed warning, call 877-351-0300 and follow the Climbing in Heels podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe where you listen to your podcast.